worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guests in just a few moments, but we invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, as we continue to share from some of the Christmas narratives as found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Again, Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Verses 1 through 20, Luke chapter 2. Father, once again, we thank you for the wonderful and the powerful and the glorious story of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world on that first Christmas. And Lord, thank you for the wonder that's ours, the encouragement, the edification, and the empowerment that's ours as we take time to read and meditate on your word and allow your spirit to reteach us what that story really, really means. And thank you, Lord, for the way in which your Holy Spirit sets us on fire to not only know about and understand the story of Christmas. Thank you for the way your Holy Spirit empowers us to go out and to be bright, shining, aggressive witnesses, telling others about the salvation that only Jesus could and did bring to the world. And Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses shining brightly for Jesus Christ every day throughout the Christmas season and beyond. Thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we appreciate you joining us. I want to remind and encourage you, please go to our website at urbanfamilytalk.com and check it out and look at some of the, want you to take time to read some of the articles and just some of the other features on our website. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. Also, we invite you to go on Facebook and like our Facebook page at Hour of Intercession. And please pray, continue to pray for the ministry of Urban Family Talk and the ministry of the American Family Association. But thank you again, all those that are listening or joining us by whichever means you're joining us today. We appreciate each and every one of you. Today, we're grateful to have Pastor Clenard Childress, who is the pastor of, let me get the name of the church correctly, New Calvary Baptist Church. And he is also the assistant to the National Director of Learn. And I'm going to let him explain a little bit more about what he does with the Ministry of Learn, as well as he oversees the very powerful website, blackgenocide.org. Pastor Childress, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Good to have you on with us. You've been on with us before. It's been a little while, but good to have you back today. And as we start, Pastor Childress, would you take time to introduce yourself a little bit further to our listeners about the work that you do, both the church that you pastor, but also the work that you do and have been doing for many, many, many years as you've been involved with the life issue.
Yes, of course, it evolved quite slowly, but nevertheless, it was the plan of God that the church and Learn basically would be like one entity. And I think that was God's plan all along, that his church that he said he was coming back for would be the front line of the activism when it comes to the social justice that we need to bring to our children who are yet to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got involved with Pastor Hunter going down to a conference, being sent there by a local pro-life group here, a Chris Flaherty of LifeNet. And she happened to stop one of my young people coming home. She was surprised that the person was aware of the abortion issue to some degree, and that we, being African American, not used to the demographics of the pro-life movement, I did not know that we were very scarce, especially when it came to activism and pro-life. So she came, visited. I said yes to be more involved. Got a call to go to Virginia Beach. To be honest with you, the only reason I really took it up was because Pat Robinson, I wanted to see the 700 Club campus.
Mm-hmm.
But there I met Akua Farrow, and she gave a riveting presentation on the Negro Project.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt quite embarrassed that I did not know of the systemic slaughter that was going on, and that the African-American community was being decimated by the abortion industry by design.
Mm-hmm.
And so I then, my wife was with me. We were on our way back. We left early. We just decided on our drive back to Jersey that we had to be more involved. And one thing led to another. And today I'm assisting Johnny Hunter nationally on leading the social activism on the issue of abortion in the black community.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. Now tell our listeners a little bit more about Learn specifically as a ministry and organization.
Learn, some of the acronym for Life Education and Resource Network. We're the largest pro-life African-American network in the country. And what we do is we pick issues directly related to the disproportionate amount of African-American children are killed in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do protests in the spirit of Dr. King, basically peaceful protests, and to keep the issue of the unborn child being the last sector of our community, or last sector of our society that's being denied access to the American dream. So we find that any social justice in the past never more or less came about unless there was public protest.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that unquestionably in the civil rights movement here in this nation, it was public protest. And basically by the church and those that were connected with the church. So it's the same it is as it is with the on the abortion issue, that the church needs to take the lead of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe also right now we're coming into a season unquestionably that God has provided for us to have greater influence, be far more effective, and really, hopefully, will be the death knell to the abortion industry and its decimation of all children, especially those of African-American descent.
Amen. Amen. Now, the website, blackgenocide.org, want you to share with our listeners why it's important for them both to go and just really read and learn from that, but also just share some of the features that make it a uniquely very helpful and useful website to really inform believers about this issue.
Well, once again, unless the victim is visualized by the society itself, their plight and their injustice, that's the injustice being levied upon them, normally there is no public, you know, response, or there's no sense of urgency to deal with it, such as it was in the civil rights movement, so it is with the unborn children in the womb. And the word black genocide I actually got at one time from Jesse Jackson. As I began to read, I found that at one time Jesse Jackson was probably the most anointed, eloquent speaker on the issue of black abortion nationally. And he said abortion was black genocide. What happens to the mind of a person and the moral fabric of a nation that can abort a baby without a pang of conscience? Where will we be as a society 20 years from today? So that was then, of course, when he desired to be president, he flip-flopped on his position, but the term very much fits the plight of the unborn, and the demographics would prove that unquestionably that the data shows that it's black genocide. And so I created that website in 2003, and when it comes to the issue of black abortion, I believe it's the most looked-to website internationally, globally. So I'm kind of proud that it does have the traffic it does have, and it has been a great help. In you know, unless you know what abortion is and what it does, you really can't make a informed decision on whether it should be legal or not. So we need to recognize that it's not something we want to have to do, but something we have to do. Mm-hmm. In order to bring about justice for the unborn, we have to visibly show persons, people, what abortion is, and it should not be something that is hidden, something, this atrocity that is being levied against our most vulnerable, our most innocent. We need to bring that to the forefront, and it's, once again, it's not a pleasant job. Mm-hmm. But it's a necessary job, I take it. I make it a very high priority to do so. So, one of the first things we did was create that website, blackgenocide.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay then. We're coming up on a break, and on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask if you'll take time to really pray and lift the church up, to really that the church would become much more stirred, to become aggressive about this issue, because sadly, you see many in church circles that are much too laid back as it relates to that issue, though. But we'll pick up there on the other side of the break. Lord, thank you for the work and the ministry you've called Pastor Childers to. Thank you for the ministry and outreach of New Calvary Baptist Church, and also the website, blackgenocide.org, and all the work that he does with Life Education and Resource Network as well. Lord, anoint that ministry with a fresh anointing. Empower them to be a bright, shining witness and light and torch for the cause of life that becomes more and more productive with every passing day. And Lord, more and more use it to stir the church and stir us all to become much more aggressive about understanding the fact that as we stand for life, not only will we save babies through our lives, but also we can help end the tragedy of abortion in our world. And Lord, I pray that every person listening today will come to understand that each of us has an important part to play in helping to end abortion, but also help us know that each of us is a vessel that you can use to help both save babies and end that tragedy. Thank you for the chance for us to be vessels you can use in that way. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Pastor Clenard Childress. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
If you like a person, you'll let that person invade your space. And depending on your relationship with that person, they may have privileges that others don't have. They may be able to eat what and when you eat, sleep when and where you sleep, and you may share a wealth of experiences. That's just for people you like a lot. What about those people that you love? Some people you love because you have to, and you're not necessarily fond of them in other ways. They don't get the same privileges as your bestie, but you have to love them. So here's the cool thing about God. Not only does he love you, but he likes you too. The Lord wants to share some space with you, hang out with you, and become your friend. John 15:14 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." There are some benefits to being God's friend. Develop that relationship with him today and let him become your bestie. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Here's what you missed on Airing the Addisons. I almost recorded Will snoring last night. I know we got to go to bed.
Hey.
I almost recorded him snoring. So that I could bring it back in.
The only reason I did record you snoring. I have it on my phone right now.
Oh, my goodness.
That's all I'm going to say. I did. Let's go. Come on, Cletus.
Hashtag women. Come on, Cletus.
Wait, let's go to break.
That is so not fair. I didn't record you.
Yes.
Just because of the conversation
That's what I'm talking about. Give me a high five, brother.
I can't. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, Cletus.
Okay, let's take a break.
I love you. I am dedicating my life to you and bearing your four children. Yeah, right.
Catch Airing the Addisons weekday mornings 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Music of Forever Jones, the song Gloria, some of the beautiful music that Forever Jones has provided for us. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Let me remind you that if you haven't taken time to do this during the Christmas season, during the Advent season, be sure and take time to read through all the Christmas stories. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Now, it'll take a few minutes to do it, but it's more than worth it. It will bless your socks off, and it will encourage you. You will learn things about Christmas that you did not know, but also it will stir you to recognize the reality of the message behind Christmas. It's a message of evangelism and discipleship. I hope that you'll be stirred to go out and tell as many people about Jesus as you can during the Christmas season. And when it's over, you keep right on going, because people need Jesus. People need to be saved. People need to know that God is the answer to everything. And Christmas is about Jesus and telling the world that Jesus saves. Be sure you're witnessing during the Christmas season. As we start out this next segment, Pastor Clinhard Childers is our guest by way of phone. Pastor Childers, would you take time to pray for the church to be stirred to become involved with the issue of life much more so?
Yes, and also would like to note on this special season, we think of the most famous crisis pregnancy center, the manger, is something undoubtedly we need to bring back and put more into the public square. And it really does have a message of the sanctity of life. Of course, those iconic things have been attacked, and we have kind of drawn back. So I'm going to ask all your listeners to make sure some way, somehow, that you support a nativity scene somewhere. And it would raise the consciousness once again on the child and the sanctity of life. Heavenly Father, we thank you and ask that the church unquestionably would now seize the moment, the hour, the time, the season, and recognize at this point 59 million babies did not have the right to life, the opportunity to pursue the American dream, and their rights were stripped from them. And Father, we know that you have left us on this earth to be the agents for change. You said upon this rock you would build your church. The gates of hell would not prevail against it. And so therefore we are the weapon, the means to get behind the gates and to rescue the children that are perishing.
Yes.
You have anointed the church to do that. But Lord, we cannot draw back. You said you have no pleasure in them that would draw back. Because it's our job, it's our calling to advance and to go behind the gates of hell. They will not prevail against us, and we will rescue those that are perishing, Lord. We know it's a struggle and it's been a fight, but we pray now that we would now come in massive numbers to the public square, to our legislative offices, to various settings, our school system, and share the message of life. That we would be voices for the voiceless. We would stand for them who cannot stand for themselves, and we would be the social justice agents that we are ordained to be. And one day, and hopefully soon, our laws that desecrate and murder and kill children would no longer be on our books. It would no longer be law. And it is an unjust law. And we pray that being just people, we will not be silent until this unjust law is eradicated and children have the right to life. We ask that the church would now take us a move on this exponentially, far more than any time past.
Thank you.
We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Pastor Childers. Let me mention to our listeners, in just a few moments, we'll be sharing with you some ways that you may very well be able to win one of the books from past guests that we've had, so I want you to stay tuned for that. Pastor Childers, I want to share with you a question that came up in one of the chats. The question is specifically, how can black believers get more politically involved in stopping abortion? How would you respond to that question?
Well, first, when we say politically, oftentimes we need to recognize that the separation of church and state was a fallacy. There's no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
And why would God ever have agents for change and the representatives of social justice alienated from the legislative means of making laws mm-hmm. for the body and for the nation? If anything, we should be leading it. So we have to recognize that we are out of our place, basically, as a church, and that we need to recognize that there's myriad of ways we can get involved. One, by upholding righteous platforms, sharing those platforms on our Facebook, on our Instagrams, and our means of communication, on our websites if we have any, and then getting involved in PACs, information, candidates that we can support. We should submit our time to them on how to communicate their message,
mm-hmm.
and we need to stop being silent on the things that matter and be willing to give our own views when called upon, whether it be at a PTA meeting, whether it be at a service that would be dedicated to public information and informing the public. So there is a way. We do pray first and ask for God's leading, but there's multitudes of ways to carry a message politically, and that where people who are making decisions on candidates can be informed. There's groups that create voter guides. We could be those that make sure that gets to our churches and to our neighborhood, and we can post now. You know, this is the age of social media, and we have a president now-elect that's taking full advantage of that because of the willingness of the media to censor conservative messages. So we have these tools. While they're available, we should utilize them. But the key thing is to be engaged, to pick the avenue that the Lord gives us for our opinion on the issues, especially as Christian, to be known.
That's right. That's right. You know, Pastor Childers, I think of this, and that's great advice for us to be mindful that there's things all of us can do. Obviously, we can pray much for the church as well. But, you know, in relation to what you specifically mentioned about using the social media tools, I often like to share the instance where after we here at Urban started really, Urban and American Family Association, we started promoting the use of the Dear Parent Letter, which, of course, is a tool that tells parents that it's against the law for a parent that has a pregnant daughter, that it's against the law for them to coerce her to get an abortion if she wants to keep her baby. A lot of people don't know that that's the law. And, of course, if a woman wants to keep her child, no boyfriend or husband can coerce it. Again, that's against the law. Well, in this one instance, we had an instance where a teenager contacted us and said, my parents have scheduled me to get an abortion tomorrow. Can you help me? Well, all we did was we emailed her a copy of the Dear Parent Letter. She did receive it, but we didn't hear from her right away the next day, so we, out of concern, called. When we talked to her, she was actually at the abortion clinic, and her mom had taken her. Her mom and dad were complicit. They wanted her to get an abortion, but she wanted to keep her baby. Well, she did finally show the letter, and both her mom and the abortion clinic workers realized, we can't do this. It's against the law. Now, her mom wasn't happy, but the abortion didn't take place, and by the grace of God, they did an ultrasound, and this young lady was carrying twins. So this 17-year-old girl was brave enough to try to do something about it, and by the grace of God, a little tool like that letter was a tool the Holy Spirit used to help save not just one, but two babies. So for people that think there's nothing they can do, they need to think again, because all of us can pray. All of us can take things like the Dear Parent Letter. All of us can be an advocate in our own local church. So just like you say, so many things we can do if we choose to do.
That's a great example.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me, too, Pastor Childers, too, what would be some ways that you would like to encourage the listeners? What could they do in their local churches? Like if they're in part of a church and they're wanting to help their church to get more involved with the life issue, what advice would you give them to do their part to really be a witness in the midst of their own congregation?
Well, for those who are listening that aren't in the Bible Belt, sometimes you're sitting in a church where your pastor very well may likely not even agree with that position. Mm-hmm. And first you have to come to grips with that and whether or not you're going to be comfortable with a person who is adhering to a message of death.
That's right.
When they should be preaching a message of life. And upon there, if I'm going to be involved with my church, I really don't want to be counterproductive. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I would not want to juxtapose myself against the pastor. So I probably would be finding a fellowship that's in agreement with my conscience,
that's
especially
right.
when it comes to our most vulnerable. And upon there, there can be one just, you may choose a crisis pregnancy center you want to counsel at and uphold and support. There's also, you may say, well, I feel I'm more of a social activist. You can tie in to some existing groups in the area. If they're not active enough, you can do sidewalk counseling. You can get training online now to get sidewalk counseling. And your local Right to Life, I'm sure, would be able to point you in the right direction there. Mm-hmm. You can have forums and seminars and Bible studies on the reality and the personhood of the child, which amazingly to me, many church people do not understand that there's a 42 days, there's brain waves, 18 days, there's a heartbeat, I think 68 days,
mm-hmm.
child is sucking its thumb. All these things, unfortunately, many church people do not know. And we, you know, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And I really honestly believe the more we educate and bring forth the personhood and the viability of the child, as far as a heartbeat and brain waves alone, I think we would then see the church responding more positively to the message of life. Mm-hmm. So it begins, I believe, with the church. It doesn't mean, if you're a youth director of even of the YMCA or YWCA, you know, you have to be careful of their guidelines and what you're able to say and what you can't say.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certainly the church unquestionably has the right to stand and witness and direct our attention towards our own demographic, especially if it's African-American, that are having the disproportionate amounts of abortion, that we find those skillful ways to communicate, educate, and be available.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing, that there's girls groups, girls meeting groups, as well as young men. We have a young men's and young ladies group at our church, and that's on the agenda. True Love Waits. It's a beautiful program. It's only about two or three days,
mm-hmm.
two or three meeting days that you go through and you make a purity pledge, but where they really concentrate on the issue of STDs and the detriment of abortion and what it's doing to the bodies of women. And so there's many ways that we could always take it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And but. Most of all, I think the church unquestionably should be leading this.
Amen. That is so true. That is so true. And, you know, you allude to the fact that, for example, you just take Luke chapter 1 in particular, a powerful chapter that speaks to the life issue because, again, as is very obvious in the Christmas story, two women that find themselves pregnant at a crisis situation in their life for one reason or another. You know, again, one lady she's basically the age of a grandma and she's pregnant. The other one's a teenager. Two crisis situations. But we'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Pastor Clenard Childress. We'll be right back.
Thank you for helping send thousands of children on the greatest journey. Here's Franklin Graham.
So we give God the glory, we praise Him, and we thank you for your support, for your prayers, making this happen.
For each $6, another child is trained for discipleship. You can still give at 877-616-2396 or at afr.net. Thanks to you, children are going on the greatest journey.
Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
When I needed a little encouragement to do my chores, my mom sometimes said, "Come on, the trash won't take itself out." Well, Dr. Tony Evans says this same truth applies to the litter in our spiritual lives. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Thursday's my day when the trash man comes. They used to come twice a week. Now they just come on Thursday. Financial restrictions have placed them to a one-day-a-week pickup. But I've never had a trash man come knock on my door and ask, "Where's your trash?" I've never had that happen. I've never had a trash man say, "Where is your garbage? I have come to collect it." They don't knock on my door. I got to carry it to them. But when I carry the burden of my trash to them, they got a pickup time. But see, a lot of times I delay because we have a trash masher, which means I can flatten it out to add more trash in it. That's called trash management. And a lot of us are in the trash management. Instead of coming to Jesus, we just try to create more space, try to do better. I got so much stuff, let me pack this down to see if I can put some more stuff on it. That's called garbage management. But Jesus said, if you come to me all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're weary, weighed down, the afflictions of life, the pains of life, the mistakes of life, the regrets of life, the hurts of life, the anguish of life, it's weighing down on you and you can't lift it anymore. He says, come to me. All you who are hurt, weary.
If you've asked Jesus to forgive your sins and be the Lord of your life, you can find out more about what that means by visiting us at tonyevans.org and clicking on the word Jesus at the top of the page. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Set the night wind to the little lamb.
music of Denise Williams, the song Do You Hear What I Hear? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, our phone guest today is Pastor Clenard Childress, who is the pastor of New Calvary Baptist Church. And Pastor Childress, tell me, what city are you in?
Montclair, New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. All righty then. And, of course, he's also the assistant to the national director of LEARN. And he also started the website, blackgenocide.org. Let me say, as we begin this last segment, I want to invite our listeners. You can do this by either by text or in the chat or the Churban respond. I'm going to give it to the first four persons that give us the correct answer here. And the chapter amongst the Christmas narratives. Number one, the first question, what chapter do you find the story of the wise men in the Christmas stories? Number two, what chapter do you find the story of the shepherds in the Christmas story amongst the Christmas narratives? Number three, what chapter do you find the story about two pregnant ladies during Christmas time? And then the last question, what chapter do you find the story of John the Baptist and his parents amongst the Christmas story chapters? Again, just simply either text me or the number you can text me to is area code 662-321-5859. Text me the correct answer. Again, the first four correct ones will receive a book. Now, be sure, once you've won it, you need to send me your mailing address, too. So don't forget that part, or else you will not get your book. So be sure you do that. Again, number one, the chapter amongst the Christmas narratives, where you find the story of the wise men. Number two, the chapter where you find the story of the shepherds coming to the birth of Jesus. Number three, this chapter where you find a story of two pregnant women during the Christmas story, in the Christmas story. And number three, the story where you find the chapter in which you find the story of John the Baptist and his parents amongst the chapters of the Christmas narratives. We'll be looking for those to come. Pastor Childress, in this last segment, as we finish our time, I want to ask you if you would elaborate a little bit more on a point, a very powerful point that you made, and it's an important one to know, too. You know, especially during the Christmas season, we find here in the stories of the Christmas narratives, the stories of, again, Elizabeth, who finds herself pregnant, the mother of John the Baptist, and Mary, a teenage girl who finds herself pregnant as well, both at difficult times. And, of course, that ties in powerfully to the topic of the reason the church needs to be reaching out to women in crises during a time of pregnancy. And again, it's so appropriate, especially during the Christmas season, because again, you find that story just wrapped up in what we refer to as the Christmas story. Would you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Well, yeah, sure. And you actually forgot one person. You forgot Joseph, your namesake.
That's right.
Unexpectedly is going to be a father.
Mm-hmm.
And right. we find that he also wanted to run from his responsibility or situation because he thought it would be an embarrassment. He thought it would be something that would bring shame to her and all of these other things. And he was looking for the best solution at that time, as men often do. They look for the best solution. They feel it's abortion. Mm-hmm. But through prayer, through divine intervention, God had to tell him that, okay, it's not your baby, but you're to raise that child.
Mm-hmm.
And for some, those who it is their child, how much more reason to be responsible, to be there. That this is a divine act, even though you've often have erred in the situation, and that's not always the case. We have married people doing the same. You know, this is something you're going to have the unique responsibility of fathering this child. And fortunately for Mary, she had Elizabeth, and you need someone to talk to, someone who can empathize with you. And this is why crisis pregnancy centers are so important when women find themselves pregnant. There is someone that will give a listening ear, someone that will empathize with you. And the church needs to basically understand, especially the black church, where 52% of all African-American pregnancies are ending in abortion. There's a pretty good chance that some of those women are in your church. When at this point over 20 million African Americans are gone directly due to abortion, God holds the church accountable. That's and right. So therefore, we have to recognize this story is really speaking us far more so today than any other time, not only recognizing the birth of Christ and God's intervention and the fulfillment of prophecy and of the word being to the point, even to the town where he would be born in Bethlehem, we have to recognize that that child is just not an arbitrary, it's not a choice you can make. You have to be committed. You're bringing life into the world. And so many children have come into the world without the most ideal situations. I think of Louis Armstrong, the product of rape and incest. I think of Ethel Waters, Billy Graham's number one gospel singer besides the, well, I would say woman gospel singer. Ethel Waters, a product of rape and incest. So many have made tremendous, tremendous contributions, and that list is endless, by the way. Of people who have, but yet there's those whom we will never read about that went on to do great works in their neighborhood or in their family. So the story of Christmas speaks to America most certainly today. That's why I'm saying those nativity scenes, it brings about a sense of innocence of the child, the willingness of a couple to protect their baby, to provide, to be there together for the child. There's no wonder that evil wants to strip the world of nativity scenes.
That's right.
And I would ask once again your neighbors, your listeners, to, in some way, somehow, even if it's not but a picture in the window of a nativity scene, let's get that up. Let's recognize this is the season that we could be a silent witness. And especially in children, impute in them the sanctity of that baby, that child.
That's right.
I guarantee you that child would think twice upon becoming of age of taking life indiscriminately.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, Pastor Childers, that's one more reason why it would be wise for every single listener to make it your business during the Christmas season, find your local pregnancy clinic. And just check with them and ask, how can I volunteer during the Christmas season? How can I be of help? Can I give a financial contribution? Because the fact is, this Christmas season, like every Christmas season, there are people in crisis, some of which are pregnant women who, again, are thinking about abortion because they think that might be a way out. And, of course, we know it's not a good way, but they're under pressure. And if we give of ourselves and get more supportive of the work of pregnancy clinics, we may help make the difference between one woman keeping her baby or choosing to not keep it. So find out where your local pregnancy clinic is. Volunteer. Get involved. Get involved, certainly. Well, Pastor Childers, our time is almost gone. Any last words of insight or wisdom you'd like to share, words of encouragement to believers to be involved in the work, that the same kind of work that you've been involved with for many, many years?
Well, right now we'll have the best opportunity to undo a wrong. We have a president that's coming in that says he's pro-life. Is also, as far as African Americans concerned, who are living near the inner city, they have a 10-point plan and how to improve it. This is unprecedented. This has never happened before. And is it any time that we should be engaged in carrying that message, the message of life and the message of restoration? Of getting back to our value system, so many African Americans had more or less sold their conscience and their values for the sake of political affiliation. I think God is calling us to say, listen, that ends now. I winked at this in times past. It's time for us to be engaged politically, but not at the sake of our conscience and not at the sake of our values, and certainly not the sake of our church. And the message that we preach across the pulpit. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, I can't talk about being pro-death or pro-choice and speak the gospel of pro-life. That's an oxymoron.
That's right.
We got too many morons in the pulpit. A little joke there. And we need to come and recognize it's time for the church to be engaged publicly, more so like we've ever been before, and to seize hold of this season that we can actually undo the greatest wrong America has ever done, mm-hmm. Roe versus Wade.
That's right. That's right. Would you share one more word of prayer for our listeners and for the church, whatever's on your heart to share, to pray about as we end our time?
Father, we thank you. Thank you for the blessing upon our national director, Reverend Dr. Johnny Hunter, who you have graciously given days of service to. You've covered him. Continually bless him with vision as we join with him. Thank you for Pastor Joseph, that he would, Parker, that he would continually get this message out over the airwaves of being a comforting voice to them who are in crisis, and not only pregnancy, but we're in economic crisis, we're in relationship crisis, we're in church crisis, Lord, and he is a voice of reason and calm and peace and getting them to the source where they may come and find deliverance. There's nothing too hard for you to do. We thank you for American Family Radio that has weathered the storms of resistance, but yet now are standing taller ever than before. May they continue to hold message, to be a vibrant beacon of a light now as they've never had before, as men come from the darkness, women come from the darkness to the light. May they be holding it brightly, and they may see their good works. Men will see their good works and glorify the Father in heaven. We thank you and come into agreement and say it is so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I thank you for Pastor Childress, and thank you for the work, the ministry of New Calvary Baptist Church, and thank you, Lord, for the work that Learn has and continues to do to help stand for life and help bring to an end the tragedy of abortion in our culture. Lord, anoint these ministries, and Lord, raise up more and more ministries and churches that will be bold witnesses standing for the gospel and standing for life, and help us to know, Lord, that there's something everyone can do. All of us, help us to be reminded of the fact that all of us can pray, all of us can stand up for life, all of us can be an advocate in our own local churches and in our communities, helping to do things that can help to bring to the attention of people in our culture the fact that God says to choose life, and help us to do that every day. Bless Pastor Childress. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Childress, for joining us today.
God bless. See you later.
Thanks. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.